Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." Sometimes a bad omen to start out tripped up over your tongue. But anyway, it's good to be here today. We want to welcome everyone. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And we want to take just a moment to invite you to visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South. And just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Sunday school, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings for all ages, 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Our Sunday night services are all out of whack because of Christmas and Christmas play practices and things like that. But when we're during normal times, we have every second and fourth Sunday night. We didn't get to have church last Sunday night. We had a funeral, and so we missed out there. But anyway, sometimes that's how it is. But I'm thankful we can be a little bit flexible. But we would love for you to come out and visit with us. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We did, and we're thankful for that, and very thankful for the rain today. And we know that's going to help with a lot of these forest fires that have been going on around about us. Sad to hear about the big fire over around Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and so certainly our prayers go out to those people, and especially the loss of property and things, and I hope there'll be no loss of life from that. But we pray for those firefighters out there, and boy, they've really had a lot going on, and so maybe this rain will help calm it down. Good to see you, Noah. Have you had a good day so far?
I have. I'm glad to be here this morning, and we do want to say welcome to all those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and if just sort of get us caught up to where we are, last week, it being Thanksgiving, we had something just a little bit different, although it did fit in with the subject we've been talking about. But I've been easing into a subject or into a study on the role of education in America. And a couple of weeks ago, we started out, we just called it Education Part 1. That's the easiest way for us to put it on the website, but we just sort of gave a little introduction, and we said that once upon a time that the home, the church, and the school were on the same page when it come to the education of our children. And once upon a time, the emphasis was upon the what they call the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And of course, there's a little play on words there. We know they don't all start with R, but that's what they've been called for many years now. In fact, I'm in the midst of reading a book about the establishment of Appalachian State University and the Daugherty brothers. And in that book, they talked about the three R's. And so don't think that's some hick thing when somebody's talking about the three R's. They were talking about that. That's what they wanted the children to learn. And it talked about the three R's. I thought that was interesting. But not only the three R's, it wasn't just reading, writing, and arithmetic, but early on, or from the very earliest times of our nation, there was also an emphasis upon morality and religion. And so that was sort of the first radio broadcast, what we talked about. And then we talked about Thanksgiving last week. We talked about the pilgrims. The pilgrims laid the foundation for our original educational system in America. They're our original educational systems, which was pretty simple, can be traced back to them, can be traced back to the pilgrims. And again, what did they emphasize? They emphasized the three R's. They emphasized reading, writing, arithmetic. they emphasized very much their religion and morality. And today, we're just going to continue on with that thought. We might call this education part two, but we'll continue on with that, and we'll call this the role of religion in education. Now, if you think about, and this is a radio broadcast that is based on the Bible. That's always our go-to. What does the Bible say? But we are also looking at the history of America. That's why it's called Blessings of Liberty. That comes from the preamble to our United States Constitution. But when we think about our founders, who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I'm talking about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. And I'm talking about that group of men that founded this nation. If you think about how they were educated, all of them without exception were educated with this kind of a system or this kind of emphasis, the emphasis upon reading, writing, arithmetic, religion, and morality. They were either what we would say today homeschooled. Many of them were tutored in those days. The one-room schoolhouse was very prevalent, but that wasn't that was only if you lived near enough to other people to go to a one-room schoolhouse, and a community might have one and might not. Now, in the northern states, they had more schools than in the southern states, and so a lot of our founders were homeschooled. They went to a one-room schoolhouse. They would be tutored by somebody in the family that was educated. One of my favorite founding fathers is Patrick Henry. And Patrick Henry was tutored by, I believe, and I'll have to look this up. It sort of slipped my mind, but I believe it was an uncle or a grandfather who was a minister. And so they would take somebody, they would take a student, they would take a young person, and they would teach them everything they knew. Reading, writing, arithmetic, literature, whatever literature they had that they were able to get their hands on, they would teach that to those children. So they would have different, they would be educated. There was a large variety, I guess you could say, in what people were educated in. If the person tutoring you was a minister, you're going to get a heavy religious education. If they were a lawyer, you're going to get a heavy education in the law. So that's how our founders were educated in this country. Now, the America's first universal textbook was, by default, the Bible. And what I mean by that, more people had access to a Bible than any other book. And more people, when I say that was the America's universal textbook, what I mean, more people had that than any other book. They had a copy of the Bible, and they would use the Bible in their education. Now, you say, how could you use the Bible in educating someone? Well, you learn to read. You can learn to read by using a Bible. That's one thing you can learn. You learn literature. There's a lot of people who would not look at the Bible as being spiritual at all. We'll look at the great literature in the Bible. The book of Psalms, the book of Jonah, the book of Ruth, the book of Esther, the lessons from the book of Proverbs. And so some would teach it from a literary standpoint. Reading from the Bible. I remember, and now I'm not going to brag in saying this, but before I ever went to the first grade, and I didn't go to kindergarten, I went directly to the first grade. But anyway, before I went to the first grade, I'd already learned everything that I would need to learn in this life to become successful. Now, I didn't learn everything that I was going to learn, but I had already learned everything that I would need to learn to become successful in this life. And what I knew before I ever went to the first grade, I knew how to read. And I could read pretty good for my age. I remember, and my mother taught me to read, and I am so thankful for that and put within me an appreciation for reading. But my mom taught me to read before I ever went to school. And I could read and comprehend. And I remember being at some friend's house before I went to school. And our family was down there visiting, and they were talking about how Wynn could read from the Bible. And I remember they stood me up in the living room in front of everybody else, and I just opened up the Bible, and I read to them. Now, of course, I was no preacher at that time, but, hey, my mom used the Bible. A lot of people say, well, you can't understand the Bible. Well, I could read from the Bible before I ever went to school. Learning to read is so very important. If a child can learn to read with comprehension, they can do anything else, because they'll be able to find the direction somewhere and figure it out. And I've done a lot of things in life that way. So how could you use the Bible as a textbook? Well, there's literature in the Bible. You learn to read from the Bible. There's loads of history in the Bible. I mean, all of it. Historical context you can take from the Bible. There's science lessons in the Bible. The Bible speaks on scientific things many different places. You can learn about horticulture, agriculture from the Bible. You can learn about trades from the Bible. You can learn about different people's lives, character lessons, people from the Bible. You learn morality from the Bible. You read and study the Bible, you will gain a knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And our early educational system stressed morality, what is right and what is wrong. You learn language from the Bible. It is amazing to me the many, many phrases that people in our society pick up. They may not even realize that they are from the Bible, but they are actually from the Bible. And I notice that all the time. I was watching a football game a while back, and one of the announcers used a phrase from the Bible. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I thought, I wonder if they even know that that is a phrase from the Bible. What I mean by that, somebody might say, talk about somebody being the apple of somebody's eye. Do you know that is a phrase from the Bible, the apple of his eye? Where it talks about the wheat and the chaff, somebody used that the other day, and I was talking to him in conversation. We were not talking about the Bible, but they were talking about separating something, and they talked about the wheat and the chaff, and that's from the Bible, that phrase, that idea. You reap what you sow, that is from the Bible. Your sins will find you out, that's from the Bible. Somebody might say, how did you know that? And they would say, a little birdie told me. Do you know that's from the Bible? The Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs. When you hear somebody saying, well, they just made it by the skin of their teeth. Do you know that's a phrase from the Bible? The skin of your teeth. When somebody says, let your light shine, or let your life shine, that's a phrase from the Bible. When you talk about putting your whole heart into something, wholeheartedness, that idea, that teaching comes from the Bible. You should love the Lord your God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. I heard the president a while back. It's been a couple of years probably now. You know how time flies. He used the phrase, and he used it out of context, but he said something about being his brother's keeper. That is directly from the book of Genesis. And so what I'm saying is the Bible has so influenced our society that a lot of times people use phrases out of the Bible, and they may not even realize where it come from, the influence of the Bible. You learn spelling from the Bible. And so the Bible was America's first textbook. All of our founding fathers had a religious education. They were educated in the Bible. They were readers of the Bible. So it should not surprise us that our founding fathers were pro-Bible. They were pro-religious. Now, let me make a difference there. They were not pro-denominationalism. They were not promoting upon our country a certain denomination and the differing doctrines that you would find in each denomination, but they were pro-religion. They did believe it was very, very important. For example, in 1787, and that's the same year that Congress wrote and adopted the United States, or approved the United States Constitution. The Congress during that year passed an ordinance called the Northwest Ordinance. And in that ordinance, Article 3 said this: religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Now, our founding fathers, Congress at that time, realized that religion, morality, and knowledge was necessary to good government. If you want to have a good, effective government, you cannot have that if your people are not religious, moral, and knowledgeable. They said that it was necessary to the happiness of mankind, and so they encouraged these things in the schools. And the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Now, I tend to list things in order of importance. The Bible lists things. When you find a list in the Bible, number one, number two, number three, the Bible uses that methodology of listing things in order of importance. It's fairly common that we do that. Our founders made a list there: religion, morality, and knowledge. These things are important for good government. They're important for the happiness of mankind, and they shall be encouraged in the schools and in education: religion, morality, and knowledge. Now, religion is not the same thing as denominationalism. Now, we might refer to that. A lot of times we use the word religion, but in the context of history, religion is simply this: a fundamental set of beliefs defining our relationship to God and our relationship to our fellow man. That's religion, our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man, a fundamental set of beliefs. Morality, when you talk about morality, in the historical context, what that means, a standard of behavior distinguishing right from wrong. Once upon a time, in America, that was pretty standard. What is right and what is wrong? Of course, today, that's all turned upside down on its head, and the general politically correct consensus is that, well, nothing is wrong. Nothing is absolutely right. You know, do what's right in your own eyes. You know, that's what happens when you get away from religion, when you get away from morality. And then they mention knowledge. Well, what is knowledge? Knowledge is the three R's. Knowledge is reading, writing, arithmetic. You give somebody those basic gifts in life, and man, they can do anything. You learn to read, you learn to write, you learn to do math. You can figure out everything else, but that's the foundation. That's the basis. That is what our religious, that is what our education in America at one point centered around: religious, moral, and knowledge. Religion in early American education centered around or was based upon five fundamental points. Now, this is very interesting, talking about our founders and the way they believed and looked at religion. Now, when they talked about religion, it wasn't, and I think this needs to be stressed, it wasn't what the Baptists say, what the Presbyterians say, and what the Catholics say. When we're talking about Christianity as a whole, there is actually more unity than there are differences. And what I mean by that, there is a unity in Christianity, and that is a big, large umbrella. But when I'm talking about Christianity, and also when I'm talking about the Jewish religion, when we talk about our Judeo-Christian heritage, there are some basic fundamental beliefs that unify us, and at one time unified our country and our beliefs about God. And it didn't matter if you were a Baptist, or it didn't matter if you were a Catholic, and it didn't matter if you were a Jew. For example, concerning our morality, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian of any denomination, or it wouldn't matter if you were a Jew. Morally speaking, the Ten Commandments were pretty well accepted. everybody knew it was wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. These are not things that people argue about. These are things that everybody, no matter what church they would go to, would acknowledge as the truth. We should not do these things. And so there's more unity, actually, than the news or sometimes even different churches would acknowledge. But these basic unifying beliefs could be summed up in 5 points. Let me give them to you. Our time will quickly get gone today. But what do Christians in general all believe and wouldn't argue about? Number one, there is a creator. There is a God. And God should be recognized and God should be worshiped. All would agree with that. I know in this day and time somebody come along and wouldn't, but we're talking about historically speaking. But everybody would agree. There's a God. He's our creator. That's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence 4 different times. And God should be acknowledged and God should be worshiped. Number two, the creator, God, has given us a moral code of behavior. We're to live by it. And that moral code distinguishes right from wrong. How did when our founders talk about natural law, they're talking about God has given us a moral code. Everybody knows. Even somebody that's never heard of the Bible. Even a tribe in the deepest, darkest jungle in the world that's never heard the gospel, you go there, they have a basic set of inward beliefs that you shouldn't kill, that you shouldn't steal, that there is such a thing as wrong and right. Well, we agree on this. God has given us a moral code. Now that we have His Word, we know what it is. And we could go back to the Ten Commandments. There's other laws, and it expounds upon that. But basically speaking, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't bear false witness, don't covet somebody else's wife, house, property, car, whatever the case might be. We agree on these things. Number three, the Creator, God, holds us responsible for how we treat one another. All Christians, all Jews, all Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians, whatever, would agree on that, that God holds us responsible for how we treat one another. In the New Testament, young man came to Jesus and asked him what the greatest commandment was, and he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That is something that has been taught in our country since the very beginning. Love your neighbor. Treat your neighbor good. We're going to be judged according to how we treat one another. Number four, all mankind live beyond this life. What does that mean? We believe in life after death. That this life is not the end, that we do live on. All Christians, all Jews would agree with that. We're talking about our Judeo-Christian heritage. Well, what about the Muslims? Well, what about them? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about, but they would even agree with a lot of these things. One God. Now, this terrorizing and killing, I don't find that in here. That would come under number three. But anyway, we're talking about our Judeo-Christian heritage. We believe in life after death. Number five, all mankind will be judged in the next life according to their conduct in this life. Christian people would agree on that. Jewish people would agree on that. We're talking about the people that founded this country. This would be agreeable. These 5 things would be agreeable among all denominations of Christians. If those 5 things were taught in the schools, that would not be teaching a Baptist doctrine, a Presbyterian, a Calvinist, a Catholic, a Jew. All would agree on these things. Once upon a time, the home, the church, and the school were all on the same page. Let me give an example of that. I'm going to read a part of a letter from Benjamin Franklin to Ezra Stiles. He was president of Yale University. If you know anything about Benjamin Franklin, he never claimed to be a born-again Christian, but he did not disclaim being religious or acknowledging God. And here's what he said to Ezra Stiles, president of Yale University. He said, "Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshiped, that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children, that the soul of man is immortal," which means he lives forever, "and will be treated with justice in another life respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion." Now, those are the five things that I just went over. And Benjamin Franklin, what most people from his own writings would come to the conclusion that he was not a born-again Christian, but he did believe in these things as the fundamental points in all religion. These things taught in the schools was very common. It was expected once upon a time. And you find these truths taught in American education from the very beginnings all the way up even through the 1960s, the 1970s, even the 1980s. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. I've got McGuffey's First Eclectic Reader. And McGuffey's Eclectic Reader was published in the 1800s. It was the most popular reader in America for many, many years. And it's just very basic. It's a reader. It's how to learn to read. And it starts out, some of you may remember Dick and Jane, the little books. Well, it starts out like that, the dog ran. And it's got how to pronounce the words and all of these things. And it's very, very basic. I mean, this is something you would take somebody and very simply teach them how to read. But all throughout this, there are little lessons that teach these religious points, these points of morality. And so as a four-year-old, five-year-old is learning to read, these good things are being ingrained in their heart and in their mind. For example, there's a lesson in here. They come along and they find a bird's nest. And I've got to hurry along. But they ask, "How does the bird make the nest so strong, Willie?" The mother bird has her bill and her claws to work with, but she would not know how to make the nest if God did not teach her. Do you see what it is made of? And so they look at the bird's nest. But there is taught that there is a God. He's a creator. He taught the birds how to make their nest. It goes on down and they look at the bird's nest and it said, "Shall we take the nest, Rose?" "Oh no, Willie, we must not take it, but we will come and look at it again sometime." There's the teaching of right and wrong. And it also talks in the book about how they treat each other and what is right and what is wrong. There's a little slate work or script work, how to write in cursive. And you see, God made the little birds to sing and flirt from tree to tree. 'Tis he who sends them in the spring to sing for you and me. And so how good that is, these little lessons that are taught. And so that's not Baptist doctrine. That's not Catholic doctrine. That's something that all would agree upon. Once upon a time in our country, religion, morality, knowledge was taught. Lots of examples we could give from that. Our time is quickly gone. I had another example or two here, but I'm not going to be able to get to them. Maybe I can come back and start with that on next week. But what we're trying to stress, the role of education in America. Once upon a time, the school, the home, the church agreed. Religion, morality, knowledge. Well, we've gone a long ways from that. Well, I appreciate you listening in today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you have a good day. Thank the Lord for this opportunity. Pray for us. We desire that. Noah's going to come and give us the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Or you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596.